Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout the Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good morning on this weekend of Thanksgiving. According to the Canadian Encyclopedia, Indigenous peoples in North America have a history of holding communal feasts in celebration of the fall harvest that predates the arrival of the European settlers. The Smithsonian Institute has noted that some First Nations sought to ensure a good harvest with dances and rituals. The European settlers brought with them a similar tradition of harvest celebrations, for which the symbol was the cornucopia or horn of plenty, which dates back to European peasant societies. The first Thanksgiving by Europeans in North America was held by Sir Martin Frobisher and his crew in the Eastern Arctic in 1578. They ate a meal of salt beef, biscuits and mushy peas to celebrate and give thanks for their safe arrival in what is now Nunavut. They celebrated communion and formally expressed their thanks through the ship's chaplain, the Robert Walpole, who, according to explorer Richard Collinson, made unto them a godly sermon, exhorting them especially to be thankful to God for their strange and miraculous deliverance in these so dangerous places. Today, we come at this season of Thanksgiving in acknowledgement of good things that have filled our lives. And people of faith will want to lift their eyes beyond the horizon of visible sight to the one who is the source and the beginning of all that we have in our lives. My name is Nigel Parker, minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville, welcoming you to another broadcast of the Word of Grace on CJMQ Radio.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of all creation, in this season of harvest thanksgiving, we are struck by the beauties of autumn, leaves in bright colours, birds flying south in formation, fields ripe with produce. Such beauty speaks of your goodness that provides what each beloved creature needs. On this Thanksgiving weekend, renew our gratitude for what you give to us in the fruitfulness of creation and in Christ Jesus, who teaches us how to walk wisely on the earth you made. For all your good gifts, we honour you with thanks and praise, now and always. God of our lives, even in these challenging times, we know we enjoy an abundance that many cannot imagine. Yet we confess we do not always recognize these blessings. We worry about the future and whether our families can flourish. Forgive our fears of going without and show us how to share the goodness that is already ours. Be at peace this day. Jesus, our High Priest, knows the temptations of the human heart. From the throne of grace, he offers us mercy in our weakness to renew us in faithfulness. Thanks be to God. God of wisdom, send us your Spirit to open our minds to your word, move our hearts to deeper love, and our wills to greater service, through Jesus Christ, your word made flesh. Amen.
He's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole wide world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the little bitty baby in his hands, he's got the little bitty baby in his hands, he's got the little bitty baby in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole wide world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands, he's got the whole world in his hands. He's got a you and me brother in his hands, he's got a you and me sister in his hands, he's got a you and me brother in his hands, he's got the whole.
When we look in the book of Genesis, the opening book of the Bible, we read stories depicting God's creation of the world. The opening chapter depicts all the creativity in the cosmos in which God is the central character. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God is the central character. And in chapter 2 of Genesis, we find a story depicting how God, the central character, created the central characters of his creation. We human beings. For myself, I see these as figurative stories. These are literary stories, not literal stories. Yet they tell us the deepest truths about God and about the ultimate truth about ourselves. Genesis chapter 2 at verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a human from the dust of the ground, and breathed into their nostrils the breath of life, and the human became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the human he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river, watering the garden, flowed from Eden, and from there it separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs alongside the east side of Asher. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. Amen. As I write and record this reflection, Hurricane Milton is bearing down on Florida. This is hard on the heels of Hurricane Helene, which passed through a couple of weeks ago. And by the time you listen to this broadcast, we will know something of the outcome of that onslaught of tempest and weather. We feel for the damage to property, the loss of community, the loss of livelihood, and indeed the loss of life that may follow from such a once-in-a-century storm. We will remember these things in prayer in a few minutes. The story of the Garden of Eden has passed into our English language culture as the expression of perfection. There was nothing wrong in the Garden of Eden. There was no death or disease or disaster or delinquency. The first humans, presented as Adam and Eve, messed it up with their rebellion against God. And when sin entered into the world, everything bad followed on from that. Humanity's inhumanity to each other, unjust suffering, and yes, natural disasters and catastrophes. Eden was perfect. At least, so goes the way that we often understand it. Now stick with me here. I'm reading the Genesis narrative literally by taking the words that are used and not used at face value. God says it is good, even very good, but he does not say it was perfect. And I think that's significant. Now, I don't think I'm being heretical to say that Eden was good and that the universe God created was good, because that's how God describes it. I also believe that God created the world as he intended to create it, and he had a purpose in creating it that way. We might say that the universe was created perfectly for the purpose for which God created it. But the Genesis narrative does not describe the universe God created as perfect. If it was perfect, wouldn't Scripture say so? But instead it says it was very good. Look at the Garden of Eden. It was well watered, with four rivers irrigating it. Now the water cycle tells us that the sun evaporates the water in the sea to form clouds. Clouds flow over the land and are pushed higher by the mountains. The cool air at altitude causes the rain to fall and thus the rivers to flow. The rivers flow to the sea and the cycle starts all over again. I have been to Florida and it's lovely. Bright sunshine, lovely beaches, warm sea, palm trees. Perfection, you might say. Yet you cannot rejoice in the sunshine that warms Miami Beach and then complain when that same sunshine warms the tropical seas, creating storms and hurricanes. The headwaters of the Tigris and Euphrates River are in the mountains of Turkey. Those mountains were created by the pushing of tectonic plates against each other. The Rocky Mountains of North America that cause the rain to fall on the prairies, producing such fertile crops and abundant harvests. The same forces that gave rise to those mountains are the same ones that cause earthquakes. The ores and mineral wealth of which Eden is spoken of are created under great pressure and heat below the earth, the same forces that create volcanoes and eruptions. God's creation, Eden, was very good, but it was in the context of a world that was shaped by forces that, out of context, were seemingly destructive. What made the world so good is not the perfection of everything, the absence of pain, but the way that that which is destructive is also the means of creating and sustaining life. And so at this season of Thanksgiving, we acknowledge the complexity of a world that means that the very forces which make some parts of the world infertile and barren, even and hazardous and dangerous to human life, are also the forces that make other parts of the world prosperous and fertile and safe for human communities to grow up in. And that's what makes it very good. And for that, we praise God and celebrate with thanksgiving. Now we know something of the rest of the story, that into this very good but not yet perfected world, God introduced beings created in his image, Adam and Eve, male and female. They made choices, as you and I do, that took them away from God, and that disrupted the cycles of nature and the balance of our world. The Bible says that the creation was subjected by God to frustration. It stopped it being as good as it was, and God did that through the one choice he forbade Adam to make, knowing full well that Adam would make that one choice, to eat the fruit of the tree that was forbidden. Maybe it wasn't inevitable, or it would not truly have been a choice, but it was highly likely. And yet God chose to come as another human being, another person made in his image, Jesus, the visible image of the invisible God, to reconcile us to himself. Through Jesus and his death on the cross, the world is being reconciled to its creator. That was God's plan all along. And the whole of creation now waits for us to be perfected, to be made whole, to be completed in Jesus. Until we are perfected, creation groans, waiting for its own completion and perfection. The fate of God's creation is tied to our fate. As we are redeemed and perfected, so is creation redeemed and perfected. The Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Amen.
Oh,
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, for at your word the earth brought forth life. The rivers, mountains, seas, and forests sustained life, and the cycles of renewal and growth gave food to your creatures in their time. In your wisdom, you granted a Sabbath, a blessed time to rest, in gratitude for all you have given, to liberate ourselves from vicious consumption, and to allow the land and its creatures to rest from the burden of relentless production. We thank you for Jesus, who chose to live as part of creation and who bears in his own body the wounds of a despised and abused earth. Raised to new life, he is the first fruits of the new creation for which your spirit groans within us as the whole earth shudders in labor to bring forth a new age of beauty, harmony, and flourishing. Kind and generous God, as we give thanks for the harvest, we pause to praise you for all those things, both great and small, which fill our lives with meaning and offer us a sense of well-being. Even as we do so, we ask you to be with the rescue workers associated with Hurricane Milton and to keep them safe as they make heroic efforts in dangerous situations to rescue those in trouble. Lord, be with everyone waiting to be rescued. Keep them safe and bring help to them soon. Bless each and every person affected by this hurricane and surround them with your love and protection. We give you praise and glory and know that even in the darkest hours, you are with us. Merciful and generous God, as we give thanks for the harvest of the earth, show us how to live respectfully in creation and to protect all that is precious to you. In a year when harvests vary across our country, show us how to share what has been produced so that no one goes hungry. Just and generous God, we pray for the well-being of your world and our community. Where there is hostility between nations or neighbours, inspire leaders to show wisdom and courage in decision-making. We pray for areas hard hit by flood, storm, fire or earthquake, and for all those struggling in an uncertain economy. May neighbours with resources maintain generosity and compassion for the long work of reconstructing lives and livelihoods. Healing and generous God, we pray for those facing health challenges or difficult times for any reason. We pray for family and friends under stress or in sorrow. Give us patience and understanding as we draw near to them and help us reach out with compassion. O God, in Jesus Christ, we have met your generous love and mercy through our lives and by our prayers. Reveal his love and mercy in this time and generation. For it is in his name we offer the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Where the winter storm
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.